In John 10, 3 through 6, Jesus makes this claim. He makes this claim that those who listen and hear his voice will follow. Jesus will lead them into good pastures. He will lead them into safe places. And in fact, as he's saying this to the crowd, there's an acknowledgement by John in this moment that those in the crowd are not understanding what Jesus is saying. It's as if they're hearing Jesus, but they're not hearing Jesus. Hey, there we go. Do you know what I mean? I mean, maybe as parents, you know this, when you talk to your kids and say, "I don't think you're hearing me." Anybody ever had that with their kids? "I'm not sure you're really listening to me right now. This thing is just being annoying." I'm going to just stand right here and use this mic. How about that? So that's what John says, that they're hearing him, but they're not hearing him. Something is being lost within the translation. Jesus was looking at these people, and let's for a moment think about who these people are, because it's going to get us to where we're going. This was a people who understood and had lived with the Creator for as long as from the very beginning. They understood Jesus, and even more than that, they understood Genesis, but even more than that, they understood the first five books of what we call the Old Testament, right? They understood the Torah frontwards and backwards. And when we think about it, how they lived, how they raised their family, how they formed relationships, and how they viewed the world kind of flowed through this bond, this covenant with the Creator. It is so much so that Paul says in Romans 3, 1 and 2, when Paul is writing his book and he gets to this part of Romans 3 and he's kind of jarred certain Jewish people, and you can imagine at this point in Romans 1 and 2, the people are like, then what's the point of us being Jewish? And notice what Paul says here. In Romans 3, 1 and 2, he says this. He says, then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the value of circumcision? And then notice what Paul says, much in every way. For in the first place, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. From the very beginning, Paul says what? He says, you have known God. You have been given the very words of God to live by. And yet in John 10, we notice that Jesus' words sound like an out-of-tune instrument to the crowd. And if you ever had a kid who is learning how to play an instrument, and I know there are some in here who have, and the first few times they play it, and as a parent, what do you have to do? You got to just grin it and bear it. But that's what it sounds like to these people. Jesus' words sound like that out-of-tune instrument. It doesn't make sense. Jesus' character, Jesus' words, Jesus' relationships were not adding up. And yet, Jesus has the audacity in John 10 to say what? Those who hear me will follow me. Those who listen to me will become like me. But we also notice, if we've read the book of John, if we've read the other Gospels, that it did add up to some. There were those around Jesus who experienced Jesus and were transformed by Jesus. They saw and heard Jesus' words and saw life and saw security and saw peace. And so they began to follow Jesus. And so we have in John 14 this interaction between Jesus and Philip, where Philip asked the question, when can we see the Father? And if you remember what Jesus says in John 14, starting in verse 9, he says, when you see me, you see the Father. When you hear my words, you hear the Father's words. I'm not making this stuff up, is what Jesus is saying. This isn't me just going out on a limb. This is the words of the Father. And so the question I have as we are in this series called Disconnect, and this is where we get to this part. We've kind of set it up over the last few weeks in Genesis to see what God's kind of vision of creation was. This vision of creation and God being one and how it was broken last week.
There's a question I'm going to give you, and I'm pretty sure in my sermon I say it three different times, but the question is this that I want you to be thinking about today. Who are you listening to? What or who are you listening to? And going further than that, how is what we are listening to shaping us and forming us today? One author, I was reading a book about kind of technology, says this. He said, "We are bombarded today by more competing voices than any other generation in the history of the world." We are bombarded by more competing voices than any other generation in the world. And so those words, listening and hearing, become very interesting words for our life. When I think about those words, listening and hearing, for me, I have to be honest, I'm not good at either of them. I'm really not. I will listen to you, but a lot of times I will only listen to you if what you're saying is what I want to hear. I mean, if it makes sense to me and I want to hear it, or it kind of confirms some of my ideas, or if you're funny, I will listen to you. My focus will hone in on the words and on other things that make sense to me. And if it doesn't make sense to me, or if I'm so focused in on something, then the voices around me become like, I was trying to think of this, they become like, anybody in here seen the Charlie Brown cartoons? The other voices around you become like the parents or the teacher in the Charlie Brown cartoons. All you hear is, wah, 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 right? Because you're so focused on what's in front of you. And if we think about it, we experience this every day. And this experience has become more and more real to me. Like, I think when we think about it, we don't really think about it. We don't think we're doing it. It's when we see somebody else doing it that we begin to start realizing there may be, if you ever notice that, there may be a problem here. Well, it's become real for me, and I'm thankful that I just saw my wife take my son out because of what I'm about to do. Because if he saw what I'm about to show on the screen, we would probably hear from him because he would say it out loud. But it's become real for me now that I have a two-year-old again, or almost two-year-old. You know, when Annalie got to the age of like 4 and 5, the beauty was I thought, oh, thank the Lord, I'm done with the Wiggles, I'm done with, you know, Max and Ruby, all of those songs that get stuck in your head and they never go away. Well, God has a sense of humor, and I have Isaac, and his favorite thing in the entire world is this: Puppy Dog Pals. Anybody in here know Puppy Dog Pals? Well, to my son, it's not Puppy Dog Pals. That would be too hard for him to say. It's just Pals. Pals. Travis and Mindy are here, and I know they're staying with us, and they hear it too all the time. He can't get enough of Pals. So much so that if he even catches a whisper of it on, if the theme song comes on, I hate to say that their theme song is incredibly addictive. Annalie and I the other day caught ourselves in the car humming it together. That tells you what my life has become, right? I'm humming Puppy Dog Pals. But if he catches a whisper of this show, you can probably imagine what happens. Everything goes like this. He hears it, and he knows my voice. He knows Laurie's voice. He will not hear a word of our voice for the 30 minutes that it's on. And secondly, if the next voice he hears is ours and it's a no, we're not watching any more Puppy Dog Pals, what do you think happens? Yeah, that happens. We know what happens. He could, what we've realized is he could watch this show, if we let him, continuously all day long. And his focus would be sitting there and he's listening and watching to what's on TV. And we think these moments are funny. Don't get me wrong. We laugh and we chuckle. But I want you to think about this. Put puppy dog pals in your own context and think about this. What are your puppy dog pals? That sounds ridiculous coming from up here. But what are your pals? What has your attention? When Jesus speaks in John 10 of those who hear his voice and will know him and follow him, my question is this today. With all the stuff we're being bombarded with, what voice are we listening to today? We notice throughout the life of Jesus, Jesus has a way when he's speaking to crowds, he says this phrase, he says, give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And I'm wondering, in our generation of technology, if Jesus is not also saying to us, give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And so that brings us to our text today in Psalms 81. And if you have a Bible, turn with me to Psalms 81. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Someone sitting next to you probably does, and just share with them. But read along with me, Psalm 81, verses 1 through 13. And up top is the NIV version, because I like the NIV version to where we get to a key verse. But read with me Psalms 81, 1 through 13. Sing for joy to God, our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the timbrel, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full on the day of our festival. This is a decree of Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. When God went out against Egypt, he established it as a statute for Joseph. I heard an unknown voice. And if you mark in your Bible, underline that. I heard an unknown voice say, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress, you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear me, my people. I will warn you. If you would only listen to me, Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not worship any god other than me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways. In Psalm 81, God addresses the people of God in a festival atmosphere. The people came to celebrate and remember the great acts of God. And much like today, as we're doing today, we come to recognize, we come to praise, and we come to prepare for another week of partnering with God in God's mission in the world. And so Psalms 81, we notice, begins by calling the people to celebrate all of God's creative acts, to celebrate the moment of Exodus when they were called out of Egypt. They were pulled out of Egypt and they were separated. They were set apart, if we remember, to be a light to the nations. They would be the people of covenant. They would be the people different who would show the world a different way. But we get to this part right here in 5, and it's 5b, that last sentence in verse 5. And notice what it says. I hear a voice I had not known. I heard an unknown voice. Think about that statement for a second. Think about we're reading Psalms. Think about as the people of God are coming to a place to remember God's actions. These are the people who have heard God's voice in their history. And they do not recognize the voice of God in this moment. And what God does after that is God begins to remind the people of the relationship established by God. And not only that, God confronts Israel's situation. And we begin to see what that situation is. The situation is this. they are no longer listening to God. God seems to be connecting this idea of listening to identity, of hearing to identity. Listening and identity go hand in hand with one another, it seems, God. Notice how many times you'll hear in this psalm, they would not listen to me. Oh, that my people would listen to me. And yet, they're listening to something, but whatever they're listening to now has got all of their attention to the point where they're so focused on it that when God's voice breaks in, it's unrecognizable. And we see it in verse 9 as God says, this is what you're becoming. What you're listening to is what you're becoming, is becoming your identity. It has grabbed your attention to the point where you no longer notice me. And God actually, in his own way, in verse 9, summarizes all of this up by saying, I have told you from the beginning, you shall have no foreign gods among you. You shall not worship strange gods. Psalm 81 leads us toward the idea that other voices in this world, other voices around us, and as we saw later, other devices are vying for our obedience, are calling for our obedience. They call for our undivided attention. They call for us to ignore the other voices around us and want us to give all of our attentiveness to what they are telling us. And so in this psalm, as the psalmist is laying it out, God is saying, let me remind you, those voices that you're listening to now, those devices that you've been getting over to now, do not lead to what you think they lead to. You think they lead to salvation. You think they lead to redemption. You think they lead to reconciliation. And what the psalmist maps out, what we saw back in Genesis 3, is they lead to death. And it reminded me of a funny story. An experience Laurie and I had just a few days ago. Anybody in here have an Instapot? Anybody know what an Instapot is? Anyway, it might be the coolest technological advance in the history of mankind. Or that's what my wife told me the other day. And it was funny because we're kind of laughing about this because she's used it. And did you know you can boil eggs and under a couple of minutes, and not only can you boil eggs, but she says the most amazing thing about it is you can take the shells off without doing something. The shells just come off. Well, Laurie's doing this, and the whole time Laurie's doing this, she's like, this is a modern-day miracle as she's taking a shell off. She's like, this makes everything about this day great as she takes a shell off. And we're both laughing about how we're talking about this Instapot device. Like, we're talking as if it has actually changed our life because we can boil eggs in under a couple of minutes and take its shells off. And we laugh about that, but when we think about it, how many times have we said to ourselves with our devices in front of us, I only need a couple more minutes, but I really need to get this done. Or you get this new phone and say, this will revolutionize the way I do so many things. And we tell ourselves a lot of times, but I can handle this. I'm good with this. This won't take up too much of my time. And then as Laurie and I last night were looking at each other and we were having a conversation, I realized that instead of listening to her, I was looking at the football scores on my phone. And my wife says, engage with me. But I can handle this thing, right? But I'm a grown man. I can do this. And in Psalms 81, God says, those things that you think can redeem your life, can make your life better and flourishing, are doing nothing but whispering lies and taking your attention from the one who can bring you life, who can bring you hope. And so God gave them over to their devices with what God says in verse 12. I gave them over to their vices. They thought they could handle it, so God gave Israel over to their desires, and we see this time and time again in the life of Israel. Read 1 Samuel 8, meditate on it. If you ever want to meditate on a chapter that I think even scares me, it's verse 8 as I was meditating on it. And Israel in this moment in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel is looking at the old prophet and saying, we don't want your sons as judges. You know what we want? We need a king, because everybody else has a king. And it looks cool to have a king. And so we want a king. And do you remember what God said to the Israelites when they said, we want a king? God says, okay. Actually, what happens is Samuel goes, God, don't get mad at the people. And God goes, I'm not mad at the people. And don't be upset either, Samuel, because really what they're saying is they don't need me. They need whatever cool advance is going on right now, and that's a king. So I'm going to let them have a king. But when you let them have a king, tell them what the king's going to do. And so Samuel looks at the people and says, here's what the king's going to do. He's going to take all your stuff. He's going to take your land. He's going to take your children. He's going to make you slaves. That's what the king's going to do, because you're going to give all your attention to the king. And what did the people say? Yeah, okay, that sounds good. And they did it anyway. And what we see is God gives us over to those things because we think we can handle it. And God also is not a pushy God. He's not forcing us or coercing us. In freedom, we listen to God. We have the freedom to do it, but we owe time and time again, we have not yet figured out in our history that when we think we can handle the devices in front of us, we find out that we can't. And so Paul in Romans 1, 22 and 24 says this. He says, at the very beginning of Romans, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And what is Paul saying here? He's saying, when you're given over, as you're given over to your devices, as you believe that you can have a better destiny, you can figure out more than God can, as others grab your attention and as devices hold on to it, Paul says this, you become deformed. The image of God becomes deformed in you to where you begin to take on the image of that which is grabbing your attention. And if you don't think this is the case, if you think that you can handle it, if you think that oh, Russell, but I listen to God, but I have this other stuff in front of me, I want to remind you of a couple things. First off, Jesus says, you can't follow two masters. You can't follow two masters. That which we listen to, we become obedient to. And what we listen to, we find out next week, we will start trusting. We will put our trust in it, and that trust turns into a type of faith. And so I've been into this, kind of been looking at different numbers and all this stuff, and I came across this survey in a book, and so I'll put it up here, and I want you to look at it for a minute if you don't think that this stuff doesn't take up all of our time. But just think about how your relationship with technology as we do this, and notice what it, and it may be a little bit hard to read, but it basically says this. It says, on average, children spend 5 hours a day on electronic devices. By the way, that doesn't count school. So 5 hours a day outside of school, they're on electronic devices. In the morning, 62% of parents check their cell phones in the first hour that they get up. And so then it's broken down what they do in that first hour. They check emails, they read texts, they check social media, they read the news. In the afternoons, kids spend most of their time doing homework, but after that, 64% watching TV, engaging in social media. At mealtimes, 44% say that it is devices that are a significant disruption in family meals. And when we go to bed, the last thing parents do before they go to bed, if you add all of this up, it's almost 50% of parents before they go to bed check their cell phones or do something on technology. And finally, this is the big one that I've been thinking about. Do you sleep with your phone next to your bed? Parents, 70% of parents sleep with their phone next to their bed. 72% of preteens sleep with their phones next to their bed. 82% of teens sleep with their phones next to their bed. These are just numbers. But if we don't think something's trying to grab our attention to listen to us, the numbers tell us the very first thing we do when we wake up goes to this. The very first, last thing before we do is go to this. And we're reminded what it says in the Old Testament Deuteronomy. When you wake up, tell them the word of God. And when they lay their heads down, tell them the word of God. There are things that are vying for our attention. And so I ask you a third time, what are you listening to today? However, I'm going to end this with this. There is good news. It sounds bleak. It sounds bad when you look at numbers and say, this sounds terrible. I'm taking my kids' phones away. We're gonna throw our phones out. Don't just be mindful. We're not saying that. But what I want you to begin to realize is what God was saying to the Israelites in Psalms 81 is also for us today, that devices have kind of found a way into our life and are gaining and trying and vying for our attention, for us to become like them. But there is good news, because in Psalms 81, even with the people listening to other things, notice what God says. God calls the people, not those people. God calls them my people still. God calls them my people still. Even when something else has got their attention, God says, my people. So God doesn't abandon, but God is persistent. And there's a voice that is piercing through the other voices. And that voice is saying, follow me. And even when it's got our other attention, that voice is still there. It may be right now, wah, 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 but it's still there. And it's becoming clearer. Because every time this happens, we can't help but look at Scripture. And we have what? We have a Psalm 81 that God shows up and says, follow me. We have an Isaiah 6 when the king dies and God shows up and says, follow me. We have an Isaiah 40 in which the people are in exile. And all of a sudden it says, and there is a voice in the desert crying out. And in Luke 3, when the people feel hopeless, we have a John the Baptist. And just a few verses later, what do we have? We have the Messiah come on. The voice is always present. The voice is persistent. And it is calling out to us that a life is made available for us to live. There are some choices we have to make. There's some honesty we have to have about ourselves. There's some realizations we have to look at and be real about ourselves and saying, we have to be honest. There are things that are vying for our attention, and there are things we are listening to at times that are not God's voice. But God never turns off his voice. And in the person of Jesus, God is constantly persistent. And so I close with this because I love this. But in Psalms 81, this is what a writer says. Festivals, think of it like this. Worship settings are a time when the people of God consider the story of God's ways with them and their way with God. These are the times to face the appeal of the Lord. Oh, that my people would listen to me. When we come on Sundays, the beauty is that's what God is saying again and reminding us again and calling us into, that my people would listen to me. What are you listening to today? Whatever it is, it's shaping and forming you. If you've realized that you've been listening to other voices and you would like to begin to listen to the voice of God, we have people next to you who will pray with you. We have shepherds down front. But come now as we stand and as we sing.
Hi.